needed 4 EDUs per net acre for this site back when they planned this district, and they estimated that to be 120 EDUs, and that is the number that we utilize in doing or in planning our density, basically the same number that the county engineer's office had indicated would be available for this site. In general, as you know, the maximum density permitted in an RPC is calculated by taking your gross density, subtracting your state wetlands, and subtracting your roads, and then dividing that by the required area per lot. In this case, if it's MR, it'd be 10,000 square feet. So the maximum density that would be permitted in an MR RPC would be 206 units. And again, what we're requesting is 120 units, which is approximately half the maximum density, and as I said, is exactly what the county engineer office had assigned as for EDUs for this parcel of land. Other utilities serving the proposed development, electric would be provided by Delaware Electric Cooperative, telephone by Bell Atlantic, cable TV and internet by Media.com. Fire and ambulance emergency services would be provided by the Indian River Volunteer Fire Department, and the site is located in the Indian River School District. Again, as I think you gentlemen are all aware, there's a complete range of shopping and services located on Long Neck Road, as well as recreational activities such as the state boat launching area at the east end of Long Neck Road and the Bay Woods Public Golf Course, which is located at the west end of Long Neck Road. In addition, there's going to be significant recreational facilities located on the site, which Mr. Clark will be addressing in a moment. A homeowners association will be formed. They will be comprised of all of the owners of the units in the development. The responsibility of the HOA will be to enforce the community restrictions, to collect fees, and to operate, manage, and maintain the recreation facilities and the common areas. There were a number of studies performed in planning for the development, including soil studies for the conditions of the soil, wetland delineation, environmental study of the conditions on the site, and cultural resources study, as well as a traffic impact study that was prepared by Orth Rogers in accordance with DLDOT directives. Basically, that study was reviewed and approved by DLDOT. The proposed development will be required to participate in certain roadway improvements, which were specified in DLDOT's review letter. That is in tab 22 of the exhibit book. And I'll just summarize those improvements that the applicant would have to enter into an agreement with DLDOT to fund an equitable portion of improvements at Long Neck Road and the Banks Road School Lane intersection. Those improvements would include lane improvements and a traffic signal. And in addition, the applicant would have to do or participate in some additional improvements as determined by DLDOT at Potnets Road, which is County Road 22C, which is located just down the road from the site. In addition, walkways and other improvements would need to be done at the site location. The proposed development, the MRRPC, is in accordance with the Sussex County Land Use Plan. It is located in the environmentally sensitive development area, which is a designated growth area under the comprehensive plan. The plan specifically states that RPCs and village-style development should be encouraged in this area to provide open space and to protect habitat, which, when Jeff goes over the site plan, you'll see that we are accomplishing by this design. This site will be served, as I said, by Public Water Company and by part of the county sewer system at a density that was planned for by the county engineer's office. The site planning utilizes the clustering option permitted in the environmentally sensitive development area. An environmental assessment and public facilities evaluation report was prepared by Mr. Clark, and that is in tab 8 of the exhibit book. And in addition, Mr. Clark also prepared a summary of our compliance with the Section 99.9C criteria of the subdivision ordinance, which technically this isn't a subdivision, but the criteria of that provision really are relevant to, I think, any application. So we provided our response to that criteria. In addition to being in compliance with the land use plan, the proposed Massey's Landing development is also compatible with the nature of the area. Again, you gentlemen are all familiar with Long Neck Road. It's a highly developed area with a very high concentration of manufactured homes on leased lots. In addition, I'll just refer to this plot. This is our sites right here. Further back on this direction, on Long Neck Road, there's a residential condominium townhome development that is pretty well under construction and mostly completed, called Fairfield at Long Neck. That condominium development has a density of 8.6 units to the acre, and directly in front of that is an additional site which has been approved for development. I don't believe anything's happened there yet, and that's the Duke's Boat Sale site, and that's their commercial properties, and that is approved for development at 12 units to the acre. And as I mentioned, this proposed development will be at approximately 2.1 units to the acre. And then the nature of the area, obviously, if you look at the aerial map, this is quite literally an infill development. Everything pretty much surrounding the site has been developed. To the on this side of the property are two of the Potnets development, Potnets Dockside and Potnets Coveside. And then on the other side of the road, where the southern parcel is, Potnets Seaside is the development that's located here. And then further toward the end of the property there is the Massey Landing Manufactured Home Park. And then you can see the parking lot for the state boat launching facility and the boat launching ramps located at the very end of the road. The Fawcett family actually own the Massey's Landing Manufactured Home Park, and the state lands that became the boat launching facility were actually part of the Fawcett family property, which they sold to the state some time ago. The Massey Landing land was actually purchased by Linford Fawcett, the grandfather of the Fawcett children, back in 1938. So it's been in the Fawcett family for some time. And appropriately, it was actually purchased from Mr. Massey. So it's been there that long. So at this point in time, I'd like to turn our presentation over to Jeff Clark to actually go over the site conditions and explain the proposed development.
Thanks, Jim. For the record, my name is Jeff Clark. I'm a licensed landscape architect in the state of Delaware and work for the firm of Landtech Land Planning, located in Ocean View, Delaware. There's a reduced copy of this same rendered site plan in your tab 3 section. It's kind of in the back of that tab 3 section. And I'm going to walk through some of the features of the plan. As Jim said, the views from the Fawcett property to the north are across the open waters of the Rehoboth Bay with Dewey Beach in the distance. To the south, views are again of open water toward the Indian River Inlet, and views to the east are nothing short of spectacular across an unnamed island, which you can just see in this aerial photo. But from the Fawcett property, you can actually see the Indian River Life Saving Station, which is, as you know, is right on the Atlantic Ocean. The land use plan was developed with an emphasis on maximizing the number of home sites that can take advantage of the water and the wetlands and existing forested views that this special waterfront tract offer. And the land use plan was developed just following a federal and state of Delaware wetlands delineation, which was completed by Mr. Ed Linnae of Environmental Resources, Inc. All the water view and water fronting home sites that are on this plan, the larger sites, are all single-family detached lots. All of the interior lots, or the non-waterfronting or water view sites, are all laid out on this land use plan as semi-detached or two-family homes. All the waterfronting and water view home sites have been planned to allow at least a 50-foot natural undisturbed buffer from any tidal waters. And no waterfronting home site contains any wetlands or any buffers or any of those, none of those conditions lie within any lot boundaries of any of the lots created. Now, there is, in tab 14, there is a chart which gives you the actual lot sizes for each of the numbered lots as they are on this plan to show that all those lots exceed the minimum lot size for the application. The private street system connects each lot to his neighbor and to the Long Neck Road with three intersections as we've shown on the plan. Each of the Long Neck Road intersections will, of course, need to be constructed to DLDOT standards. And based on the DLDOT comments we have thus far, there will be a need for a continuous bicycle path and a pedestrian way along the entire Long Neck Road frontage of the property. One feature of the street network in this particular land use plan is the segment in front of lots 66 to 72 and 91 to 96, or the this stretch right through here, if you will, which is a little different than what you normally see on a waterfronting tract. Typically, you would see a row of homes directly on the waterfront, so that the only view you would get of, or the only ones that would get a view of that waterfront would be those folks who live in those waterfronting homes. In this case, it was intentional that those lots were set back so that everyone that enters the community and makes their way to that view can enjoy it. A sidewalk is planned in front of all the lots, which connect directly to the street. In most sections of the community, as you can see, the sidewalks are on both sides of the street. There are some areas, such as in front of lots 35 to 46, where the sidewalk is planned only on the lot side of the street. Regularly spaced street lights will be installed along all sidewalks in the grass strip between the curb and the sidewalk. Street trees are also planned for installation in that same grass strip. And there is in the center of the community a community center with an associated swimming pool, and it's served by a 35 parking space lot. This centrally located parking lot will also serve as a bus stop connection for both school buses and DLDOT transit buses when that service is extended to this end of Long Neck. There are several planned recreational features throughout the neighborhood. There is a central community park that's going to exist on the waterfront peninsula connected to the community center, and it will be developed in response to the needs of the residents of the community. There is a vision for a floating canoe or kayak launching and mooring pad subject to permitting through DENREC, and that's located, again, right here is the community center and pool and the parking lot that I referred to, and this peninsula then is an upland peninsula that's wooded. That would be the central park of the community. There is then across or on the south side of Long Neck Road, and you'll see the note on your plan, in that wooded area in the vicinity of lots 117 to 120, a standalone tot lot. And there is a second large community park, and that's the area that's in front of that street that I referred to a few minutes ago, between the water's edge there of what's called Massey's Ditch and that subdivision street. That long community park will again be available to the entire community and served, is accessible then by virtue of the community sidewalk system. With the exception of the kayak canoe facility in the central neighborhood park, all the boat launching and temporary mooring and the like will take place at the Delaware Public Boat Launch and Fishing Pier, which, as Mr. Fuqua said, is the facility that you see on the aerial photo right at the end of Long Neck Road. We have enclosed our written comments to the PLUS review, which is found in tab 6. We've highlighted our comments in blue, leaving the comments from the state agencies in black, so you can actually see what our comments are in direct response to their concerns. And there were a number of issues raised at the PLUS level which resulted in amendments to this plan before you this evening. And referring to section 13 of the design summary, you'll find a series of plans. The first plan is the actual plan that we submitted to PLUS. There was an amendment some months later, And then it finally led to the plan that we've brought to you here this evening. And some of those amendments included a reduction in density from the original 125 units to 120 homes. 10 of those original homes were removed from the northwest corner of the site, which is this. Originally, that there were homes planned up in this area and up in here. Those have all been removed as based on recommendations that we received through that PLUS process. The elimination of 6 townhome condominiums were removed in favor of the semi-detached and single-family detached homes. The replacement, if you look at that initial plan or that original plan, we had open water ponds planned for the stormwater management on the site. They have all been replaced with man-made wetland filters, which graphically are these shapes that you see in this lighter green tone on the plan. These are all stormwater management areas for managing stormwater quality and our natural man-made wetlands. The original plan had lot lines that extended to the water's edge. As I said earlier, that we've removed all the lot lines from state of Delaware and federal jurisdiction, as well as buffer areas from all of those impacts in the lots. A study was conducted to confirm that no historic homes existed on or adjacent to the property. And a study was conducted, as Mr. Lank pointed out earlier, that no rare, threatened, or endangered, federally endangered species are on the Fawcett property. There is on the site, you see this feature here, which is a dredge spoil site that the material was dredged out of a maintenance dredge operation as a permit. A joint permit between the state and the federal government when they maintained the Massey's Ditch. And there was some concern raised in the PLUS comments that that we may not be able to disturb that area. And Mr. Lene has confirmed that there are no permit issues in connection with that. And that material will become part of the earthwork process to finish the community. And again, as Jim said, the site is served by central water and central sewer, and that essentially concludes my comments on the site plan, if you would have any questions.
Gentlemen, the only thing I wanted to add on the photo here, you can see this is actually Mrs. Fawcett's home right here, located on the property. And it goes without saying, but I'll mention that obviously this area was dredged years ago, as a lot of that area on Long Neck Road was. And you can certainly see the contrast in development styles from today, where you know we're providing buffers from those areas. And back in those days when some wetlands became wetter and some wetlands became drier and basically were utilized for development. We believe that this application and this location is appropriate for an MRRPC. It's obviously a developed area of medium density development. Central water and central sewer are available. The RPC, we believe, with this design will provide a superior environment with a mixture of single family and duplex residential units. The Fawcett family has seen this area develop around them for the better part of the last 50, 60, 70 years, and this is an appropriate and reasonable use of their property that we believe has no negative impact on the uses or the values of their neighbors. I do have some proposed findings of facts and proposed conditions that I would ask you to consider. I won't read those for the record, and I'll hand those to Mr. Lank and ask that he would pass those down to you.
Thank you, sir.
And I did not time my presentation, but I hope I'm within the framework of other applicants.
Well, thank you, Mr. Fuquay. In fact, we appreciate your succinctness this evening. And we'll see if anyone has any questions for you. Okay, this lies in Mr. Johnson's area. He's not with us this evening, so Mr. Burton, we'll start with you.
Great, thank you, Chairman. I just have a couple. Mr. Clark, what will that stormwater management, the lighter color, look like? Will that be an underground system? Is that what?
Actually, each of those areas, as they're currently designed, have a depth of about 3 feet. So they'll be very shallow in comparison to the ponds that you normally see in your applications that come before you. And they'll be completely revegetated with natural material. So they will, over time, become, with trees and shrubs, they'll become wooded areas in each of these locations. So the water will be, the stormwater will be directed into each of the, or one of these four. And then these will have two points of connection to the wetlands as an outfall. So they will be, they'll look like wetlands.
And the central park that you point to in the middle where the clubhouse is and all that, what will that look like at the end? It's very well forested right now. What are your plans to?
Actually, this, Jim had pointed these features as canals that have been dug probably back in the early 70s. So the forest edge along here and in this area that's going to become the community park, these trees are of considerable size to them. So the vision here is we would clean that out so that you get rid of the greenbrier and things like that to make it a usable area. And again, this area is available to the community. The only active recreation right now is the community center and the pool. We don't know what use the community would want to put to that, whether they want to put picnic tables there or grills or just how that would be used. But it is a nice sized area for them to enjoy. The only vision we have is that it is an excellent area for kayaking and canoeing here since it's so protected.
You plan to leave it pretty much how it is, except clean it up.
Absolutely. There'll be no clearing, I guess, is a better way to state it.
Okay, and the last question would be on the despoiled area that I guess was pumped there or dredged there. That you said that will be worked into the community. Is that, you're going to build on that?
Actually, this, if you can follow these shapes, Mr. Burt, you can see that this actually occurs somewhere right about here on the site. That'll be during the earthwork process when this community is constructed, that material will be distributed around the site.
Okay. No further questions.
Answer?
Mr. Gordy?
Yeah. Sidewalks, will be both sides, one side, or?
A little of both, Mr. Gordy. We have, in these areas where you have lots on both sides of the street, there will be sidewalks on both sides. In some areas, for example, in the area of lots 35 to 46, there will only be a sidewalk on the side where the lots occur. There won't be any on the side adjacent to the wetlands. So that, for the most part, as you go through the community, it is on both sides. But there are a few areas. Here's a stretch here, for example, and here that only has it on one side. Everywhere there is a lot, there will be a sidewalk.
How about walking paths or? Putting any walking paths through the woods or anything? Or?
There is no trail system here. There certainly is an opportunity to walk here, but it is not a continuous path like you normally see on some plans we develop on larger sites. In fact, I think the agencies encourage you to stay away from some of those natural areas. But we have designated specific park areas for that type of use.
And then on, I think it's locked. 96. Is there a cul-de-sac there, or how do people make turns there? It's not an entrance from Route 23 or 22, is it?
You might need to help me, Mr. Gordy. We're on
96. On the south side. No. Towards what is it? Roman Pond. Yeah. Right there.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Well, that is. There's a turnaround here. The State Fire Marshal's Office allows a dead-end street without a cul-de-sac as long as it doesn't exceed 300 feet in length.
Okay.
As long as you have an opportunity to turn around.
So you're already there?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And there's going to be a driveway, I guess, serving that lot. So that's how that.
Oh, yeah. Each of these.
Yeah, right.
This is the private subdivision street right. That would come down. It would terminate here. There's no connection here for a reason, so that we don't want through traffic. Enter there.
And then on the south side, I see you've got your tot lot, which appears to be close to the main road there, Long Neck Road. How we isolate that from kids getting on the road?
I think the vision here is to have some equipment, and it is a wooded area, mostly pine trees in that area. I guess it might also involve some fencing to address the safety issue, Mr. Gordon.
That's all the questions I have right now.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Smith?
Yes, thank you. Do any of the lots contain any wetlands?
None. There are no wetlands contained on any lots.
Or buffers.
Or buffers.
Okay. The
This is just kind of a question, just because I'm curious. Acknowledging the Fawcett family's long history of making lands available to the state, you know, for the enjoyment, conservation, preservation, and all. I see here that they're dedicating a 70-foot right-of-way along the frontage of lands being proposed for development. What's that?
That's actually a requirement that DLDOT has put on us to. We have to increase the right-of-way to 70 feet. So that's not necessarily a good-natured thing.
I kind of want to preface it and say that on the one hand, they're acknowledging what they've done, and then I know I saw the 70 feet. It's not up to me to say, but.
Is that 70 feet total for the right-of-way? Are they
That's correct. And right now it's 50, so there'll be 10 feet on either side that would be dedicated for a total of 70 when it's complete.
That'll be for when the state builds the bridge across the bay. The road will be wide.
It's been talked about, don't joke.
That's all.
That's it? Okay, Mr. Couts. Am I correct? The lots average range from about 4,125 to about 7,500.
The duplex lots are the smaller ones, obviously. The single family home lots are all a minimum of 7,500 square feet.
You have an average, typical?
On a single family?
There aren't really.
It's a wide range of.
There really are. There aren't many that are close to 7,500 square feet because they're. There are a lot of Y ones. I've forgotten what section it is here. The
Section 14.
Section 14, Mr. Kaus, has a
lot. Okay. I got you. So the largest 27, 13. Okay, I got it. Okay, thank you.
Okay, Mr. Lang?
You have 120 lots total.
That's right. Correct.
And what was the numbers on the north side?
48 and 48. 48. Yeah. 48 and 48 on the north and 24 on the south.
Okay, that's what I had. Thought I'd miss.
And it's all duplexes on the south?
Correct.
Okay.
The only question I had was related to the cul-de-sac question at the lot 96, I believe, on the far east side. That's all I have.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Robertson?
No questions.
All right, gentlemen, we thank you. If you'll kindly stand by, we'll see if anyone here has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of change of zone 1608 Massey's Landing Properties, LLC? Fortunately, all the Fawcetts do not wish to speak, so but it's understood that you're in favor. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to change of zone 1608? Anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to spend the rest of your Thursday evening with us to see if we make a decision, or you may prefer to just call the office in the morning or check with your esteemed attorney.
Thank you,
John. You're welcome, sir. Congratulations. Our next public hearing